And I want you to know that. We're among brethren of like precious faith.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you so much for that. A couple of resources you can take a look at the table. The Men of the Bible. We got it on?
Yep. You're good.
Okay. The Men of the Bible, Volume 1, is from Genesis. It's written in a way that you can take it and reteach it. And so I don't know about you, but I need a lot of help in prayer. And I thought if I could hear the Master pray, not study another time on what he said about prayer, but listen to him praying, I thought that would really help me. And so I went through all my 3,000 books and couldn't find anything on it. Went on the web, tried to look. Other than all the prayers in the Bible, they didn't have it organized that way, Lockyer. And so I thought, well, I've got a King James Bible. I'll figure it out myself. Went through the Bible, studied it, taught it to our people, and then put it in print, the Prayers of Christ. Did you know that there are 20 times that we find Christ praying? And in those 20 times, there are lessons for us in prayer. That's what that book's about. And then finally, 32 family devotions. This is set up each day with an outline of what to go through, a scripture, a song that goes along with it, a manner to teach your children. It's what we did in our family. And so just a springboard to get somebody started in having family devotions. We're in Genesis 35 now in this session. Genesis 35 in this session. Here's what the Bible says. And God said, and this is verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. I want to challenge you for a few moments on this title, Family Revival.
Amen.
Family Revival now. Heavenly Father, in Christ's name, I pray that you'll help us in this session. We submit ourselves to you once again in the fear of God. Lord, we want to be more than conquerors in our ministry. We want to be more than conquerors individually. But Lord, we want to be more than conquerors as heads of our homes. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we hear challenge this morning, that if it fits, if the shoe fits, help us to wear it and help us to do something about it. In Jesus' name, amen. We can have personal revival by seeing the holiness of God. And boy, we need to take another look at the holiness of God and seeing our own sinfulness and confessing our sin. Isaiah 6:5 is the text for that. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So when we see Him high and lifted up, holy, and then we compare our own selves to it, well, we're really close to getting right with God and having personal revival. Revival in a church begins with individuals getting revived. And so if you don't think that you need revived, you personally say, this doesn't really apply to me. You're the very one that it applies to.
Yep.
You don't think you need it. But individuals aren't the only ones that need revival. We also get into ruts in our family. By the way, this is kind of... I talked to a preacher about it. He said, oh, it's just right. Well, it's just right if you're this tall. I'm sorry, brother. It's a little far to see with my bifocals at 66 years old. But We start taking each other for granted sometimes in our homes. So easy to do. We get into ruts in our families, and we let up on discipline if we have children in our home, and direction, determination. Dad gets sloppy in leading their homes, dads do, and what they allow in their homes. Why, one time they were really firm, but now the kids are growing up a little bit more, and he's gotten distracted, and he gets a little sloppy in what he allows. Moms get sloppy in keeping their homes, and children get sloppy in their obedience and their attitude, and everybody gets sloppy in how they talk to one another in the home. And so I want us to examine tonight our need of, today, our need of family revival. In Genesis 35, first of all, who God commands. Take notice who he commands. He commands the husband. This is Jacob in verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, make there an altar unto God, in the middle of the verse. God didn't command Rachel. Did you hear me? God didn't command Rachel or Leah for the household. God gave the command to Jacob. Being a husband and a father are serious responsibilities. It's not just that you married a wife or that you have the capability of producing children or having children and then turning them all over to the wife to do all the training. No, no, no. It is a responsibility of every man that has a child to train that child. And so as we go, so goes our home. If we aren't right with God, it'd be mighty tough or nearly impossible for our family to be right. Revival for your family can't be complete without the husband also becoming revived. Gentlemen, don't wait for your wife to lead. Don't do that. You lead. You show them a tender heart and that you know what God wants you to do. Be more than a conqueror with your family. Now, the husband is supposed to have an ear that's tuned to the Heavenly Father and get his orders from God. That's how this is supposed to work. We walk with God as men in our homes, and we find out what God wants for our homes, and then we convey that to our families, and we lead. That's what Jacob did. He was talking to God, and God was talking to him. We aren't to be directed by the whims of our wife and family. It's not our kids that ought to be directing traffic in the home. It ought to be Papa. He ought to be the lead. It's painfully obvious when men aren't walking with God. Here's one of the places that men abdicate when they aren't walking with God. They're just going along to get along instead of leading. When you aren't willing to lead, you open the door, don't you see, for your wife or even one of your children or your children altogether collectively to lead. Can you identify, let me ask you this question as we begin, can you identify your family's need of revival? I mean, can you look in the eyes of your wife or of one of your children and see an attitude and see a direction that they're headed? Can you see your own need of revival? Where is the discernment of the Father in the home today? Where is that discernment? I'll tell you where it would come from. It would come from a walk with God, from being shut in with God, spending some time with the Heavenly Father in prayer through Jesus' name. We could get the discernment that we need for our homes, but we aren't spending the time with God. It's a little bit here and a little bit there, and there's no intense walk with God, and therefore we can't find sense the need in our own family. And secondly, when you sense that need, what are you doing about it? What are you going to do about it? God is calling on you, sir, to seek His face for yourself and on behalf of your whole family. We know that a prophet speaks to the people on behalf of God. Are you with me? A prophet speaks to people on behalf of God. But a priest speaks to God on behalf of people. And so, when was the last time that you cried out for each of your family members as the priest of your home? I mean, I don't mean that you worried about them or you talked about them. I mean, you cried out to God for them. When was the last time that you called their name and just concentrated and zeroed in on that child and that need? They may be grown, but when did you intercede? Job interceded for his children. Every morning. The first thing I think about when I wake up in the morning is God. I've trained myself to praise God in the morning. And talk to God right out of bed. Before I get out of bed, I'm talking to God. And I'm thinking about God. And from there I go to praise and then intercessory prayer for my family, for my wife, for my children, for my in-laws, my son-in-law and my daughter, son-in-laws and my sons-in-law is the proper way, and my daughter-in-law. And for my grandchildren, by name. And sometimes, some days, God burdens me more about one than about the other. And I'll just park right there and cry out to God on behalf of their needs that I'm aware of. Brother, this is what we've got to do as men, or we're not going to have the discernment to help them stay on the right path. Don't you see? And so, 4 years ago, I told Shirley, we have a grandson, W.T., and he's brilliant, but he was lost and carnal, 6 years old. And you say, well, 6 years old, he's got plenty of time. I don't look at things like that. I think they need to get saved. And if they get saved, there'll be a change in their life that no parent could bring. God brings to the inside and starts working out. So I told her we need to start fasting and praying weekly for WT's salvation. I'm not taking anything for granted. We started praying every week for his salvation, and for months, and sacrificed meals to be able to do that every week. It took about a year, and we would check when we called. How's WT doing? Oh, he's doing fine. And, you know, they didn't say anything about him getting saved. And so we know we got to keep praying and keep fasting and keep seeking God. And about a year later, he went to Vacation Bible School. And they asked him, they gave the opportunity in class for him to be saved along with any of the others in the class. And they asked for a raise of hands. And he put up both hands. And somebody took him aside and led him to Christ, and he's gotten saved. You can notice the change. Perfection? Absolutely not. But now there's something working inside when you're disciplining or you're talking to him. And so we were excited about God's answer. You are the Father. Think of the privilege of that. You are the leader, and whether your children are grown or not, you're the priest that's crying out to God for your family. You're the one whose ear is supposed to be tuned to God of how to lead your family. And think about it, who's going to cry out to God for your children if you don't? I mean, if you're not going to call their name in prayer and really concentrate and beg God to use them and beg God to protect them and keep your eye out and be vigilant, who's going to do that? It must be you. God deals with the Father. Also see that Jacob didn't get the idea from his family to make a trip and build an altar and clean up his household. That didn't come from his family. Rather, he got alone with the Lord himself. And it was when he got alone with God that God showed him what he needed to do. That happened a number of times in my home. I married my wife. I love my wife. She is vivacious, always has been. I went to high school with her. We dated through college and got married. And she's always been, she's hyper, she's excited. Life is exciting to her, except when we were about 37 years old, something changed. And her personality changed. And I couldn't understand what's going on. I'm a thick-headed man, and I just didn't get it. She was going through some chemical changes in her body and her mind, and she was downhearted, insecure. She'd never been like that. And I didn't know what to do. I remember one night we were playing a game on the floor and things were not going well. And I thought, what in the world? I couldn't believe it. I said, I'll be back. I went upstairs and got one of the rooms and shut the door and locked it behind me. And I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what happened to the wife you gave me? Something's wrong here. Something's upside down, and I'm not clued in on it. I don't know what's going on, but I know that you do, and I'm crying out to you on behalf of my wife. There's something that needs to be done here, and I don't know what it is. Would you show me what I should do? I didn't walk out of there till about 20 minutes later, and God had given me four things that needed to be done. They're in the book on clouds of adversity. And we came out of that, and we put the kids aside, and I talked to her, and I said, honey, I've talked to God. Here's what we're going to do. And I had the outline, and we did it. And God blessed it. And I got my wife back. It took a while. It's not an overnight thing. It was a year and a half like that. But she became vivacious again and a light and alert, slowly but surely. And God answered our prayer. We had another situation. Our son, at age 14, was drifting. And he'd always been a compliant child, very obedient, and a good student. Everybody liked Chris. And so, something happened to him, and his heart wasn't tuned in like it should be. And so I cried out to God about what to do, and God gave me a plan, and within a week he had rededicated his life to the Lord. He responded to the plan, and he rededicated his life. Our daughter drifted away from God, and at age 21, and she ran away from home. And ran away at a time that I wasn't there. In fact, I was preaching that night on the prodigal in a church that we had planted 40 miles away. I preached on the prodigal, and when I got home, realized I had a prodigal. I had a note attached to the door. I've run away. Don't try to contact me. That hurts. There's a lot more of that letter that hurt. We, of course, were crushed. We went to the Lord in tears and prayer and seeking God. And, of course, as a parent, you know what we do. We whip ourselves from one side to the other, don't we? That's what we do. And we immediately instituted the only thing we know for the hard cases. That's fasting and prayer. And through fasting and prayer, God gave me a letter that gave me the words and everything to write to her, send it to her address, and hope that it would be forwarded to wherever she was. It was forwarded. In it, I confirmed my love to her. I didn't hate her. I loved her. I confirmed that love, and don't you know, I invited her back. She resigned her church membership. I mean, that was a break. She got with wrong voices. You know how it works. We're all friends. And we invite her back to church, invite her back to a meal. We always had a family meal on Sunday. She came back about 2 months later. About 3 months later, she came back for church and the meal and stayed all day and went back to church Sunday night. And after the preaching, here she come. And she rededicated her life to the Lord and got things right. Wasn't too long after that she came to me and she said, "Dad, I got things right with the Lord. I want to get things right with you." And we've been close ever since. Honor be to God. God brought a young man along that serves the Lord, and they serve in an independent Baptist church today. But prayer, seeking God on behalf of our children and wife in times of crisis. When our son became smitten with this redhead gal in our church that had been visiting, and he really wanted to date her, and so I sent his kid sister, Marcia, along with him to go out to eat. He didn't like that. I didn't care if he didn't like it. We could see something in this gal's eyes, Shirley and me, and we weren't happy about it. But he couldn't see it. He was enamored. This gal was pretty, and she took a fancy to him. And so she came home for lunch one day on Sunday, and she wanted to go down to the park alone with him. We said no. He was 16 or 17. "Hey, they're still under my house."
Amen.
And I said no. She didn't like that. I'm sure she belittled him to him about, "Does your dad always tell you everything to do? I don't care. I'm not going to have this." We began to fast and pray and talk to God about binding this whole situation and breaking them up. In 2 weeks, he didn't have the good sense to do it, but she broke up with him. And I jumped up and I clicked my heels and said, "Man, oh man, was I happy about that." Because a month later, she moved in with a married man. She was a strange woman. Broke up that family. And that was the gal. And God preserved my son. In our son's fourth year of college, listen, you're never done being a parent. Never. A dead seminary wanted to fly him, all expense paid trip, to come and see their seminary so that they could enroll him. And I got wind of it. And I thought, I know what to do. Fasting and prayer binds Satan's plans. I didn't raise that son to get that far and all the training of the college and everything on par and then go to some deadbeat seminary and come out, not all NAR, but this one was, and I knew it, and compromising outfit. I'm not sending my son there, and I don't want him to make the choice to go there. So we began to fast and pray. I talked to him, maybe a month later. And I said, "Oh, by the way, how did your trip go to the seminary?" I hadn't heard. And he said, "Oh, you didn't hear?" I said, "No." He said, "Something came up and they had to cancel the flight and everything else for everybody. Nobody got to go." He said, I don't know what happened." I said, "Son," is my exact words, I said, "I know what happened. There's God in heaven." And your papa was praying. And God blocked it. Because he has greater things for you. And that's something. And he did. He's my pastor today. Gentlemen, we must be in touch with God. I don't know about you, but I didn't take pains to raise children for Christ only to let them make some foolish decision and go the wrong way. I'll do everything in my power. There's a sermon that I heard somebody preach, Too Late for the Peace of an Ear, something like that. And I'm going to go tugging and pulling every way that I can to keep our kids on the right path and keep them close to me. We can't just let our family go in any direction that they want to go. When they start, then it's time for us to hit our knees and find out what God wants us to do or say. You're still the father, and you must be willing to confront and talk to them. If your child turns out right, it'll take your diligence and God's grace. Maybe you just need to ask God and ask your family to forgive you. Start showing some spiritual leadership. You don't know which way your children ought to go. You're not discerning where they are, because you yourself are really not close to God like you should be. You talk it, but you're not there. If that's where you are today, you correct it. We have young men in here. You remember this lesson when it's time for you to get married. We have men here who have grown children. They're not outside your purview. Ah, some of them are just gone, preacher. Yeah, that's when you get on your knees.
Amen.
You can still get on your knees. We get into ruts. Jacob knew about this. He knew about being in a rut. We let things get sloppy at home. We're so intent on making a living and doing our ministries and our families, and we substitute all of that for taking the spiritual leadership in our families and our homes. We substitute giving our family a house and a vehicle and clothing and food and things. Why, we've been a good father. We've done all these things. What about the spiritual instruction? What about walking very close to God ourselves so that we know what God can show us about what our children need? Now, go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. When was the last time you had a family altar? Do you have children at home? When was the last time some call it a family time of family devotion? I wonder if we've forgotten God's commandment to men. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Sounds like we ought to be talking about this all the time. That's not an option that we can take or leave as men for God in our family. Neither is it a law that Christ nailed to the cross. This is not gone. This is still active today. Still a command of God to Christian fathers. And we can't abdicate our responsibility to train our children in the Scriptures. One of the thrills of my soul as a father occurred, I made note of it, in August of 2014. In August of 2014, my son shared what he was teaching his three children in family devotions. At the very same week, my son-in-law in the Philippines sent me the audio of their family devotions and why he was training his two sons. All my grandchildren are under family devotions. Boy, that's a thrill. I mean, our kids have grown up and they modeled after the example that we had in our home of having family devotions. You know, you could teach your children a body of truth beyond what your local church teaches. I mean, not different from, but I mean expanded, because you're the father. You know what happens? too many fathers are backward about doing it. They don't feel capable. They don't feel worthy, able, that they know enough scripture. Listen, you only need to stay one day ahead of what you're doing. The old Latin teacher used to study Latin to teach for tomorrow. And you can do the same thing with the Bible and get a help to help you. I showed you earlier about the devotions. And I'm not up here to sell books. I'm trying to help men. So get started in your family devotions. Think about it. You want your children, your grandchildren to have that? I sure do.
Yes.
Then you need to get busy and do it with your children.
Amen.
If they're still home. So that they will know how to do that. Proverbs 22:6 is still in the book. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. But there's no promise if you don't train. Train all the time. We're not talking about potty training. We're talking about Bible training. You train them in the Bible. Teach them what God's Word says. So my son today, he has teenagers. And God shows him what's going on in their lives today, relevant. And he gets them together, and he challenges them on that. And may give different assignments to them, and different things that they may do something right there in family devotions, or dig out a passage right there in family devotions themselves because they're teenagers. If you have children, you don't go for as long as you do if you have teenagers. And you've got to be understanding of that, or it won't work. Jacob had just overcome two huge trials in his life. He left his father-in-law, Laban, struck out on his own. And then he had to meet Esau, who the last time he saw him was ready to kill him. And so he thought, wow, Esau's going to kill us. And everything's divided his camp and his whole family and everybody into two groups just to be sent Esau gifts. And so they had a peaceful reunion. And he got through that stressor. And now in Genesis 33 and verse 18, he moved to Shalem where he bought property and set up house. Do you know what I hear from parents when their teenagers are doing carnal things? Listen to me now. You know what I hear from the parents? Oh, they're just going through a phase. They're doing carnal things, but they're going through a phase. We had a gal that was on Facebook, and she was tied in to some ungodly somebody that she friended. And he said, I confronted the father about it, and because we had somebody that screened people that were in our church that were on Facebook. You may not like that. I don't care. That's what we did. Then, and they let me know what was going on and made copies of what they saw. And so then I met with the father, and the father said, oh, they're just doing it to get a rise out of the church leadership. I said, well, it works. This ought to be changed, and you ought to get it straightened out. Well, I don't think it's that serious. It's not that bad. He's a good boy. She's a good girl. They're still living in the past when those kids were 2 and 3 years old. They're seeing how far they can go, and they're shoving the line out there to see if Dad will let them get away with it, and he did. And now they're nowhere to be found, not in church, not anywhere. The girl moved in with a druggie for a while. The boy moved in with his sodomite friend. Grew up in our church. Yeah. Members of our church. Not anymore. One mother left the church, so the husband then had to leave the church because the children were rebellious. And sir, don't wait for serious problems of sin with your children. Don't wait for that to attack your children, your wife, yourself. Get alone with God and today and find out what he wants for your family. If Jacob had done that, maybe none of this would have happened to his family. Maybe he could have spared them. Maybe God would have led him not to have them move to Shalem if he would have been in tune with God earlier. Jacob was busy building a house, and he failed to build his home. And there's a difference. If we're to have family revival, we must have personal revival, every person in the family, and it has to start with the fathers. Fathers have got to get back in the driver's seat of their family. If we're to have family revivals, fathers have to get along with God. Before our children will get straightened out, we must get along with God and get the mind of God for our family. We ought to be looking into their eyes and seeing if they need revival. Yeah. That ought to be us as fathers, discerning what we can do to help them. If we see something but we don't know what to do about it, God has the answer. God will show us what to do. If we have a married child and they're going the wrong way, if we'll seek God, God will show us how to approach them, how to see things turn around in their life. Before our grown children get right with God, God calls on the Father to cry out to Him. As you consider the family revival, remember first that God commands Daddy. I'm going to stop right there. You've had a lot of preaching and a lot of things said, a lot of things to digest, a lot of things to meditate on. And I just wonder if maybe God is working in some man's life here. Somebody, some father. You have children at home. Boy, if you have children at home and they're just taught, you have taught it in time.
Amen.
You can get started right away at family devotional and training them and you seeking God and interceding for them and asking God for wisdom. The older they get, you can still see it work because God's Word works.
Amen. Yeah, right.
And we've got to have faith in His Word. Would you bow your heads with me for this moment? We'll not have you come forward in this particular study. You may want to tonight after the service. But I wonder if there's a man here and the Holy Spirit's touching your heart big time.
Amen.
And there's something, maybe it's the prayer time. Maybe it's you interceding by name for your children more faithfully. Maybe every day they need it. Nobody else is going to pray for them like that. Maybe it's discerning what needs to happen in your daughter. In your son. And then wisdom to know what to do about it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But you would say, preacher, God's really ringing my heart today about something with my family and me as a father and my responsibility. And I want God to do something. Could I see your hand? Would you just slip it up? Could you witness that by operation to me? I appreciate your honesty. Honor to God. Put them down. Are there others? Others? God bless you. We can do better, can't we, guys? In Jesus' name now, we thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for these fellows. Thank you for how they've made us feel so welcome at this conference. Lord, we appreciate that. It means so much to us. But now, hands were raised that things need to change in some way in some father's heart here. Many, in fact. And I pray that you will give that father wisdom and courage as Brother Manny preached, resolve to be more than a conqueror in their home. To take the reins by the spiritual reins. Take it serious. Intercede. Lead, I pray, Heavenly Father. Let this be a turning point. I pray, Lord, in 5 years, that some may reflect back on this very meeting, that it was a turning point for their family. And we give you all the praise because you deserve the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, is that good? Good. Thank you for that. It's we'll dismiss right now. Ladies, by the time we get out there, we might be done. Thank you for coming this morning for the split session, and I hope it was a blessing and a help. If you have any questions, he's got the answers.
So,
thank God for the Word of God. Amen. There's no hopeless situation.
Right.
When the devil gets us into a point where he tries to defeat us and saying it's hopeless, it's not.
Amen.
When you get some good, have you ever listen between the lines? You get other things in there, and I appreciate that. And so, you are dismissed. 7 o'clock tonight, we start. Thank you.